outside.
Welcome to Dark Side of Psychology Podcast, episode 9. And this one's called The Origins of Warfare, or When One Chimp Bitch Slapped Another. It's an important topic quite close to my heart because of my PhD on understanding how soldiers make sense of killing in combat. Really, this is an important topic because it battles the age-old question, is war ingrained into human nature? We've been studying war for thousands of years, ancient Greeks right through to modern day, primatologists, psychologists, sociologists, philosophers, they've all tried to tackle this question. What is it about humans and warfare? But something very strange appears to be happening to the way that we're studying killing and warfare. And it seems to stem and originally come from the way that we're looking at how we understand chimp-on-chimp warfare, or conspecific killing, as the primatologists call it. It might be surprising to learn that the study of conspecific killing in chimpanzees, which is to say when one chimp kills another, has become surprisingly controversial and political. What's probably not that surprising to those of you that have been watching the political polarization in Western society is that this controversy seems to be solely based on the ideological preferences and outlook of the researchers, and ultimately how they perceive its effects of the data in trying to understand the nature of violence in humans. And you should make no mistake, the link between chimpanzee warfare and human warfare has been not only hinted at, it's been outright stated by leading primatologists in the field. They suggest that we as humans have an innate predisposition to warfare because chimps seem to engage in warfare. Now, for me personally, I first came across this controversy in graduate school when Steven Pinker had released his book. In his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, he kind of goes through the idea that we're getting less violent or there's less warfare in our society. However, in saying that, is to admit that there was a great deal of warfare in our history and that it's always been there with human beings. We've always warred with each other. And of course, this prompted a dispute around, is warlike behavior an evolutionary mechanism inherent in humans? 2 years later, when I started my PhD, looking at soldiers killing in combat, another person called Douglas Fry has just edited a book called War, Peace, and Human Nature. He brought forward all kinds of researchers, anthropologists, sociologists, psychologists, primatologists, and he in fact argued that war is not innate and is not an ancient part of human civilization. Now this research was definitely a critique to the very popularized theory of warfare being integral to war, as ancient as humans themselves, and even in species predating humans. I guess that's where the link comes from where we inherited it from. It appears that this debate all came to a head in the debate entering popular public discourse with the articles in Nature and New Scientist, and of course Steven Pinker's book. Of all the idea of chimp warfare has been around for decades, it was the observation of the Ngogo chimps that appeared to be the first point of contention. Over a 10-year period, researchers Mitani Watts and Amsler observed one band of Ngogo chimpanzees systematically annihilate a neighboring faction. The researchers concluded that the male chimps were out on patrol with their primary objective of seeking out the other faction. If the patrol discovered a weaker force, such as a single male chimp, they attacked and killed him. This behavior continued until the dominant faction actually annexed the opposing faction's territory outright. And of course, the researchers concluded that Ngogo males acted in a way that they can control more fruit, leading to faster reproduction, and thus allowing the group to grow larger and stronger. This is not a one-off event. This has been detailed intergroup killing across multiple chimp studies, including the Bodongo, Bagombi, and the Ngogo, with some research suggesting that as many as 30% of chimpanzees are likely killed during war among male chimps. Going further, it appears that animals' motivations for coalitional killing, another word for conspecific killing, cannot be assumed to be merely a product of fighting for scarce resources or obvious initial mating benefits. Researchers have reported acts of coalitional killing conducted when there was minimal risk to the attacker and where resources were not a primary motive. Wilson comments that there are times where male dominant chimps attack each other without clear intention, engaging in bullying-like actions. Typically, this behavior is explained by Rangam's imbalance of power hypothesis. This hypothesis suggests that selection favors a tendency to hunt and kill rivals when the costs are sufficiently low and when one party can attack another with impunity. Simply put, Rangam noted through observations of chimps during tribal skirmishes that long-term payoffs of deep incursions by chimps into each other's territories to kill the other tribe are opaque to the animals involved. Thus, there must be a biological innate component behind the behavior. I just want to pause, take a moment to really think about that for a second. What we're trying to say is we have seen chimpanzees not only kill each other, but systematically annihilate a neighboring tribe. And yet, sometimes it happens for food and resources. You know, it makes sense to annex another tribe and take over their resources. But they've actually seen it being done when there was no actual motivation for obvious additional food therein then, or mating preferences. It was done without these clear goals. In that way, it seems like that there's something biologically driving these chimps to kill one another when they feel like the costs are very low and the benefits not even obvious to them at that very point in time. This is, of course, assuming that chimpanzees are not able, like humans, to plan for the future. Like in humans, if one country invades another, well, we can look at the resources available over a long period of time, maybe trading routes, etc. We're assuming, of course, that chimps can't do that, and there's no reason to believe that they can. Rangam's imbalance of power hypothesis is perhaps one of the most influential studies investigating the reasons behind chimps' conspecific killing. By suggesting that chimps have an innate predisposition to killing others, even when not engaged in immediate competition for resources such as food, this leads the killing group to have more males during confrontation over resources. Despite a great deal of evidence collected in favor of this theory, Horgan, an adamant critic, suggests that the popularity of this imbalance of power hypothesis, or innate mechanism theory, has more to do with the militarization of our culture than scientific merit. Horgan suggests that this, in fact, is used as a way to shrug off our responsibility to end war by simply blaming it as human nature. In what could be viewed as sealing the deal, Wilson and colleagues, in a collaboration with 30 other primatologists, conducted analysis of 152 killings in 18 chimps communities and found the evidence supported a hypothesis for adaptive strategies for killing, that is to say, increased access to resources and attackers outnumber the victims. In what could be viewed as sealing the deal, Wilson and colleagues, in a collaboration with 30 other primatologists, got published in Nature article, I believe it was 2014, conducted analysis of 152 killings of 18 chimp communities and found evidence supported the hypothesis for adaptive strategies for killing, that is, increased access to resources and attackers outnumbered the victims. The findings that were published in Nature were greeted, of course, with both praise and criticism. Criticizing the article directly, Horgan argues that Wilson and colleagues only directly observed 15 killings, an average of one killing every 28 years, in a typical community. Horgan argues that simply observing the studies from 1960s onwards, these killings have mostly been suspected or inferred, rather than directly observed. I guess then you can say that he's actually calling into question the scientific merits or the methodology used by the researchers in order to gain this data. Others, such as Sussman, have suggested that chimp warfare is not innate, but is shaped by human interference. By this he means in the form of deforesting and logging, which has forced the chimps to live in closer proximity and thus more competition over resources. So basically what they're saying is, first of all, your methodology is circumspect. You're inferring these killings, you haven't observed all these killings. And secondly, even if they are killing more, or chimps are killing each other, it's human beings' fault. It's not that it's innate in them. We have thrust this upon them by taking up their resources and forcing them into tighter, smaller communities. You might be thinking, wow, this, you know, it seems overwhelming that there is evidence that chimps kill each other and the link between humans and chimps seems pretty obvious. It maybe seems like common sense on the outside looking in. You might wonder why they're nitpicking at these, you know, have you inferred them? Is it true observation? Why are we talking about one killing or 10 killings every year? How many members are in a tribe? So, you know, when we look at it as terms of percentages in terms of, instead of, you know, numbers, maybe it makes more sense. But it becomes obvious that the reason this debate rages on absolutely is unlikely to end anytime soon is because it has very serious implications. And that is, humans are killer chimps with the only addition an active frontal lobe and a pair of thumbs. We've already made the link or the suggestion that humans and chimpanzees exhibit similar tactical behavior during raids on neighboring tribes. That is when we look at how humans commit warfare before warfare, I guess, became something so advanced and applied and professional as it is today. When simply neighboring tribes and factions used to attack and dominate each other. You know, even when we're talking 20, 50, 75 peoples attack each other, that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Very similar kind of styles of actively going out on patrol, killing the opposition when they're in short numbers. The idea is really, in essence, that the innate biological predisposition to conspecific killing can be applied to both species. In short, we are both natural-born killers, and in all likelihood, humans inherited these violent patterns of behavior from a common ancestor. If you believe what the research suggests, you think the data is sound, it really does seem like an almost inescapable conclusion that humans are innately violent. And this is where we get to the crux of the issue. This is why this debate keeps raging on. The critics of Pinker and Wilson seem to conflate acknowledging innate violence with condoning it, or worse, they feel like we're shrugging our responsibility off in preventing war. But I'm going to suggest this as a way to leave this episode today. The words of Steven Pinker in his book: many intellectuals have averted their gaze from evolutionary logic of violence, feeling that acknowledging it is tantamount to accepting it or even approving of it. Denying the logic of violence makes it easy to forget how readily violence can flare up. With violence, as with so many concerns, human nature is the problem, but human nature is also the solution. He said that in 2003. And the point is this: just because we accept that we are naturally violent, or even that there's a biological mechanism within us that allows us to commit warfare, does not mean that we have to accept that we will forevermore commit warfare, that we are doomed to this for the rest of eternity until we wipe ourselves out. I think this question becomes really important and popular among people when you get a flare up again with North Korea or Russia or China, and people feel like, well, screw it. If this is innate within all of us, it doesn't matter if it's North Korea now, Russia in 5 years, China in 7 years, we're going to wipe each other out eventually, because you know what? Weapons are getting more sophisticated. Nuclear destruction is ever increasingly more likely if we don't work hard to try and disable these nuclear warheads or prevent them from getting into the hands of a rogue state. Surely then, with nuclear warheads, it's only a matter of time if warfare is innate within us that we're going to wipe each other out. That's not what the research is suggesting. It's not reasonable to take some data which simply points out perhaps a biological fact and suggests that this can be applied forevermore to humans. We have the ability in our sophisticated brains to work around some of our instincts. The very fact that we have societies and cultures, and we have neighbors, and Europe hasn't seen a war since the 40s amongst each other. When was the last time a European country was seriously concerned about an invasion on its homeland? Not for a long time. We are able to override these if we can. Just simply acknowledging that we have this ability does not mean that we must accept it and be doomed for annihilation because of it. Thank you very much for listening. There was a few references and citations in that, and I'm going to put them online at some point. Either they'll be in an article, which I'm going to try and find a home for, and if I can't find a home for it, then I'll write up a blog post and you can find the references and citations there. Thank you for listening.